Hi, everybody. I'm Scott.
Hello, I'm Julie.
And this is A Good Story Is Hard to Find podcast,
where two Catholic friends talk about the books and movies they love and the traces of the one reality that lie below the surface.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I feel like this movie defines that.
I think so, too.
Is the example of that.
That's right.
Below the surface.
We need Veda in here to change our perception.
Oh, yeah.
With story.
To tell us a story. Exactly.
Yeah. So Vikram Veda is the name of the movie, and it was done in 2017. And this is a, hopefully I say it right, a Tamil movie.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to say it.
Okay.
We always say these words, however it seems to us, and later you find out, oh, it's not Kerala, it's Kerala. Or, you know, and you're just like, oh, yeah. How many times have I massacred that? Yeah, we say Tamil, but Tamil probably is right.
Okay, well, Tamil might be right, too.
Yeah, so, because this is... I don't know if we've watched anything in Tamil, but Tamil, those movies have, they're really some of the best storytelling movies that we've come across. And Tamil Nadu is the name of the state. But you know how there's Bollywood, right?
Yeah.
This is called Tollywood.
Tollywood.
And not because of Tamil Nadu, but because in Chennai, which is their, one of their great big cities, there is a neighborhood that has a name I can't say that starts with a T, and that's like Hollywood. It's where all their film industry is centered.
Huh, that's really interesting. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So how all that stuff is in Hollywood, this is all, you know, Tollywood.
Very interesting. And I noticed when I was poking around after I watched it that they remade it, and I think it was a Hindi movie.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? And it was like 6 years after they made this one. So it was very shortly after.
Yeah.
How interesting that is.
I didn't watch it because this one's so good.
Yeah, I didn't watch that other one. I'm glad I watched the right one because after I saw that, I was like, oh, I hope I watched the right one.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah, but I did. I did watch the right one. So
yeah, because I think that had Saif Ali Khan as maybe the Veda character. He's lately been playing... evil guys.
Evil
but
guys.
Anyway, I just looked at it and went, it's probably perfectly good, but this is the one for me.
Yeah, it was a terrific movie. I really, really liked it. Another one for the pool room. I mean, it's getting full, that room. But but it was really, really quite good. Yeah.
Yeah, and this one, we didn't know much about it when we watched it a while back, except that it was, you know, highly rated everywhere. And it had two big, well-known stars in it. So it has Madhavan, who plays Vikram, the straight arrow cop. Well, you say straight arrow, but we'll talk about that later. And Vijay Sethupathi, who plays Veda. And there are two big actors in Tamil movies who are both named Vijay. One of them just goes by Vijay.
Hmm.
And this one goes by his both names. And I was like, and I've seen them both, and this is my favorite Vijay. So I have a favorite Vijay in South India.
And a favorite Khan.
Yeah, well.
That's,
I don't know. Great. Are we talking about Irfan Khan?
Well, I'm not sure.
I got a lot of favorite Khan.
Do you have a favorite Khan?
I don't
that's
think
a good
I do,
question.
Really.
Okay.
They're good for different things.
They are, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so... we've seen both of these actors in a lot of different movies, and they're always good. The thing that might surprise people who are watching this is Madhavan, who plays the cop. He seems like just kind of he's not a one-note actor, and you can see that in this movie, but he's got a more straightforward character in the movie, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he has played wildly different characters, and we never... have picked up on it when I went back to look.
That's interesting. So, I was watching it and I said, you know, we have a good friend of the podcast, Carl Urban.
Oh,
and I think that he looks just a little bit like him. There's like a hint of a resemblance to me.
I am going to look again at his picture. And
I kept getting the Carl Urban from him. Yeah,
that's, I love the Carl Urban vibes. That's, you know, mm-hmm. that's a good thing. Well, and so that's the same thing Carl Urban does that we like so much, right? He can play Éomer in Lord of the Rings, and then he can play, you know, that TV show with, where he was a cop who was with the robot. And I mean, he just has all kinds
Dr. McCoy.
Right. Yeah, and he's just good. And this guy also is that way.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
VJ is also great. VJ, I like VJ the best. Yeah. I mean, VJ is just...
So that's interesting. Yeah, he's listed starring R. Madhavan. Mm-hmm. So he just, that's kind of how he goes by. And
first name,
people just call him Madhavan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. It's, you know, I've got to do something like that with my own name. We'll see.
S. Danielson.
Yeah.
They tend to do that in South Indian movies in general, because a lot of times the names themselves are just so long.
Yeah, yeah.
And these both, you know, Setapathy and Madhavan are both fairly short.
Hmm.
Okay. It's probably different language that, and I don't know enough about that stuff. Yeah. So
do you know anything about the director? So Pushkar
Dash. Husband and wife.
Husband and wife. Okay, Gayathri. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they, have they done a few things before?
Let me see.
I imagine they've done multiple movies. I'm just guessing. But.
It says their works are noted for their unique style, technical finesse, and intricately woven storylines.
Intricately woven. Excellent.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I just saw Vikram Veda had Hrithik Roshan and Saif Ali Khan. Oh my, I could see it now. It probably looks pretty good. Anyway.
How fun.
Yeah. I don't think I've seen really any of their other movies than this. But I didn't realize they also directed and wrote the Hindi one.
Hmm. Very good.
And there's a Amazon original series that they've done.
Oh, okay.
That's a mystery crime thriller. Well, so they've done not tons of stuff, but they've got a lot of awards behind their name.
Well, good for them. Yeah.
Yeah.
This was sure good. Yeah. So what is this movie?
So this is a action thriller. And basically, Vikram is a cop who's on an encounter squad looking for Veda, who is a kingpin in the gangster world.
Hmm.
All kinds of crime and murders are attributed to him, but he's hard to catch, and he's hiding all the time and this kind of thing. And the worst thing is we know from something like Singham long ago, an encounter is when the police find him and go, well, you're guilty. We're not even bothering taking you to court. We'll just take care of this right now. And that's a bullet to the head.
Mm-hmm.
So this squad is sent out there to kill people that are surrounding Veda to try and find him.
Mm.
And we see that in the first scene where they're doing a raid. And as things are happening and somebody gets killed, and they're like, well, we got to cover this up. We can't show that we did it. Okay, we're going to make here. What hand did he use? What this and this? So they get all the evidence right. So it looks like this person shot that person.
Mm.
So that tells us that they're already shady because they know how to fake the evidence and everything. But you see, when you see them around each other, they feel very righteous because they're good fighting evil. You know, this guy Veda's bad. So at one point then, they're trying to hunt him down, they're frustrated, and Veda just turns himself in.
It's like an awesome scene.
Well,
very
please
powerful.
Describe it.
Yeah.
Yes.
He just walks in. He walks in, he's holding a gun. He just walks right past people, and they're kind of looking in awe, and he gets into the heart of the police station and draws his gun. And everybody aims at him. But it's just, you know, slow motion and just awesome. And, you know, it's just, you know, super powerful. And he's just got the smile on his face. Like, you know, this is unfolding just like I want it, you know.
He's supremely confident.
Yes, very. Yep.
And in control of the situation as he, the most wanted criminal in Tamil Nadu, is walking in with a gun to this police station.
And while they're having a meeting upstairs on how are we going to catch this guy.
Yeah, if we can't find him, we can't flush him out. Well, here he is.
Yeah, but he shows up.
Yeah. And so what happens?
Like, yeah. He's like, they're not going to gun me down in here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and there's a lot of evidence. Right. And that's why he does it, really.
Mm-hmm.
Also, because that's how he is. He makes a statement with his mere presence.
That's right. Someday I will enter a room like that.
Oh, my gosh. S. Danielson. I can't wait for it. It's going to be great.
It's going to be the best. Yeah.
Well, yeah. It is, no doubt. So anyway, then various people question him, and finally the head cop, who is Vikram, questions him.
Mm-hmm.
And he suddenly changes how he's acting, not deflecting things and not talking, and says, let me tell you a story.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, Vikram doesn't want to hear, but he keeps pushing and pushing, and he finally tells him a story. Mm-hmm. And when he's telling this story, you see that it is constructed like a story, but it's also a flashback to his own life. Yeah. So what you're starting to see is who he is more, who Veda is.
Right.
And he does this 3 times in the movie. It's not spoiling anything, because eventually you're looking forward to them meeting up, because you're like, what story are you going to tell this time? You know?
Yeah.
But when he tells this story, he leaves Vikram with questions. He asks him a question at the end.
Yeah, they like always end with a question, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what are you going to do?
Yeah. Yeah.
What would be the right thing to do in this case? Yeah, he asks him. Yeah.
Yeah. Who is the right person to kill? This person who with for this reason, this person for this reason.
Yeah.
And he's answering this the way we would answer it. It's the correct answer. And then his lawyers show up and he gets out, I think, is what happens, right?
Yeah.
And so what's happened, though, is he's made this guy think. He has used story to change the black and white thinking to a little bit of a shade of gray and expand his knowledge and make him look below the surface level.
Yeah.
And this whole movie is like this because it is actually based, it's the way we would do something going, oh, it's 1001 Nights.
Mm.
We get it. It's like that kind of an idea. But Secondhand Lions, if anybody has seen that, and probably, I think a billion people have seen it, that kind of does the same thing where a story is being told interspersed with current life.
Mm.
And the story is illustrating things that are going on here. And so, of course, that's the 1001 Nights thing, right?
Yeah.
We understand why the story is being told and what it's illustrating. And this is based on the husband and wife directors and writers wanted to base it on a series of stories that are in a Veda. The Vedas are the oldest scriptures of Hinduism, and they're sometimes called the Veda. So they're all these religious texts in Sanskrit, and they have literature, they have scriptures. There's 4 of them, and they all have these different ways they go off. So it's kind of like saying it's like the Old Testament, and we kind of know what that means, right? Well, there's a series of stories called Betel Pachisi, 25 Tales of Betel. But internationally, it's known as Vikram Veda.
Oh. Hmm.
Or Vitala, sorry. Mm-hmm. Vikram Vitala. So, and it's the story of, it's the story of this legendary king who promises a sorcerer that he's going to capture a Vitala, who hangs upside down from a tree and inhabits and animates dead bodies. And so he's trying to get him back to the sorcerer. He keeps catching him. And every time he does it, it tells a story that ends in a riddle.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Right?
Yeah, very nice.
So now
we
get it. So we see, watching this movie as an Indian, you would go, oh, I get what they're doing here. There's instantly a whole layer that we don't expect, right? Because as Westerners, we don't know this. And if he can't answer the question correctly, the vampire will stay in captivity.
So it's flipping
that whole idea on its head, right? It's not what you expect.
Mm-hmm.
And think of how in this movie, Veda keeps turning himself in and making sure he's caught so he can bring up another puzzle.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
And if the king knows the answer but keeps quiet, his head will burst into 1,000 pieces. And if he answers correctly, the vampire escapes and returns to his tree.
Wow. Very cool.
So he knows the answer to every question. So 24 times he's caught and released. And on the 25th time, a story is told that stumps Vikram, basically, But the Vitala allows himself to be taken to the sorcerer, and then the story unfolds more. And when you think about this movie, that works on that level too. Obviously, it's a loose adaptation of this concept. But if we knew that concept and those series of stories, we would have been looking for clues and stuff the whole way through.
Yeah. How interesting that is. Yeah. Because he asked him a question at the end. And one of the interesting things to me is that Vikram answers what, you know, he thinks about it and answers, but and Veda is like, that's right. You know, he says, exactly, you know.
Yeah.
And then that's what makes him think, okay, well, if that's true, then what have I done exactly? Yeah.
Right.
That's really cool. So in that way, it's like a, I don't know, like a, well, first of all, you know, you can't help but to think of Jesus, you know, in the way that Jesus taught with right. parables, you know, and he's saying, you know, I'm going to tell you a story rather than tell you a sentence, you know, this is wrong or whatever. He's going to give you a story.
Yeah.
And your contemplation of the story is what sinks in and makes you go, you know, so it forces you to be introspective and to think about it. And it's the same thing like, you know, like a spiritual director might do when they're trying to ask you questions and bring you down the line and say, so what do you think of this? Or, you know what I mean? You know, you're asking me these questions, but what do you think?
And that's also the traditional rabbi's way of teaching.
Right.
Also. Yeah, right. And which, of course, is why Jesus would have been following that line, although Jesus took parables to a new level, as I understand it.
Yeah.
I haven't looked that up, but I remember reading that. And you're right. It's that idea of, when you think about it for yourself, you suddenly see angles you would never have seen if somebody just told you the point.
Right.
And that's exactly what he wants, because he needs to... Veda is looking for the answer to a specific question himself.
Hmm.
And he kind of knows the answer, but he has to take this guy along with him because he needs his help to do stuff. Well, in fact, we're going to... This is not quite spoiler territory, but... We're obviously skirting the line anyway.
We're almost there, yeah.
Yeah, so spoilers, basically.
Right, but right. Ahead. But yeah, it's like, too, it's an examination of conscience, right? Kind of forcing that examination because Vikram is realizing as it goes on that he is sinful.
Yes.
Just like the criminal, right? And that's what the criminal's doing. It's like, we're the same, dude. You know, you and I. We're making decisions that are the same.
And they're making decisions based on not enough information a lot of the time.
Right, when we absolutely.
See Veda's beginning story, because each of the stories that ends in a puzzle is, of course, more of his story.
Right.
And shows what brought him to this point of even talking to Vikram and being in this situation. But it's each one... is people are motivated by greed or anger. And that's what these the directors and writers wanted to show, is instead of, you know, whatever it is that the Bedal Pachisi is trying to win. I think surely it's the king's somebody, some woman or something. But usually it's a princess or something like that. But in those cases, they're... The people in this, we understand what they're motivated by.
Mm-hmm.
Greed,
yeah.
Anger, jealousy. Mm-hmm. The last one especially, when we're looking at who betrays him and why.
Yeah. Wow.
So,
yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's as Vikram's understanding that, he's also seeing, as you say, how simple he is, but he's also understanding life is shades of gray.
Yeah.
There's still a correct answer based on what you know, but you've got to open your eyes and look the full truth or you're making the wrong decisions.
Yeah.
Which also is when you brought up Jesus and the parables, that's the whole point of those things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's really cool to see this. And then, of course, I think Vikram has to realize or is realizing... you know, the whole ends and means thing, right? Which Catholic teaching is that you should not be doing evil, even if you think that an outcome will be good. You know, it's right in the Catechism, you know, you can't justify evil, evil events or evil means to achieve a good end. You don't do that.
Right.
And, you know, that's something that I think Veda is understanding too. Because, you know, like at the very beginning of the thing, you know, when he's like, well, this is going to be complicated, so I'm just going to set this up so that it looks the way we need it to look so we can move on. And he's justifying it as, well, the end is going to be good because I am going to be able to, you know, exact justice on Veda or whoever. You know, I'm a cop, so everything I do is going to be good, and that's going to be the end. And that conversation at the beginning, that really, really quick back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, you know, how many did you kill? You know, it turned out, you know, I've got 16, I've got 18, you know.
Yeah.
And he even, the cop was even annoyed that he underestimated. He said, you've murdered 15. And he said, no, I've done 18. You know, and that's the cop who said that.
Yeah.
And then Veda, you know, that was a confirmation of what Veda needed that we understand later in the movie. As the movie goes on, we understand why. But Veda said, so you killed those guys. Okay. 18 it is. And now he's got his confirmation that that's what happened. Yeah. And now he's going to move forward with everything that he does from then.
But and because he keeps pointing out over and over that if there's a problem, don't just look at the problem. Look for the reason behind the problem.
Right. Yeah.
So his friend on the force, Simon, was killed in an ambush. Vikram's friend. And he's furious. And why did you do this? Veda must have done it, all this kind of thing. And basically, it's like, if you want to find out why Simon died, you have to find out why Pulley died, a young man who was killed at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
That Simon kind of froze up when he was going to shoot him, and so the character of Madhavan plays Vikram, moves in and shoots him instead.
Yeah,
but there's a lot going on there that he doesn't understand. He just thinks he froze for some reason.
Right. Yeah.
And Veda, the whole point is, why did Pulley die? Because that was his brother, who was the one good, innocent person in the whole thing. And knowing a lot more details, Vikram was also good. He was motivated by trying to do the right thing.
Mm.
But he had an improper understanding of what good was. It's not having encounters, for one thing.
Right.
You have to know what's going on.
Yeah.
What's the reason for the problem?
Right. And then Veda realizing who Pulley was. That was a good scene, too.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very good. Yep.
Well, Veda knew who Pulley was.
Uh-huh. Veda did. But I'm sorry, did I say that wrong? It's Vikram.
Yeah, you said when Veda realized who Pulley was.
I apologize.
Yeah.
I meant Vikram's realization after the story that Veda told. And then it dawned on him, oh my gosh. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and the genius of telling it, of course, is that we're all Vikram.
Yeah.
We don't know anything but Vikram's point of view. And when you know the end of the movie, you look back at the beginning when they're at the bonfire after the big shootout and everybody's drinking and it's the old cop who's really running the group and, you know, saying, I have a banana plantation over here. I have this over here. Uh-huh. And we realize the clues have been laid, but Vikram wasn't paying any attention. He didn't stop and say, how can you afford all this?
Yeah, where did you get that money? Yeah.
And at the end is when he's going, your kid was at the hospital all the time. Your kid, you know, is going to this special school. You bought a boat and a this and that. And he suddenly realizes, well, he doesn't realize it fully enough, but he's the only one on the entire squad who doesn't take. He's not on the take. He's not corrupt for money.
Right.
He's really doing it because he thinks he's doing the right thing. And that has to be why Veda said, let me tell you a story, sir.
Mm.
He has to get him to think and open his eyes to what he's surrounded by.
Yeah, absolutely. And their reaction was the same as Vikram's, right? Which is, hey, the end is good. They paid us to kill these people.
Yeah.
That we were going to do that anyway. You know?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
It's the, you know, and, but no, that's not okay. And Vikram was there at that point in the movie. He was in the right place.
Right. Yep. Because look what he was willing to do in order to get the evidence and get his man. He would do anything, even, you know, using his wife as somebody they could give the information to and follow her because she was on the legal team who's defending Veda.
Yeah.
And and on the one hand, you go, I totally get it. He's a bad guy. You need to get him. But you've betrayed the trust of your wife to do it. That's also, here's the problem. She's now mad at you, but what is the reason for the problem?
Right.
Should you have done it like that or not? Should she understand or not? These are the little daily kinds of problems that we run into in our own lives. Hopefully not because, you know, our spouse is the lawyer for a terrible criminal, but
I'm sure it happens.
In which case, I'm sorry, dear listener, if that's you. But because when you think about it, also the other thing that is taking us for a ride is the whole way through, we're watching Veda tell his stories. And he's always a pretty nice guy. Bad things are happening. But he's pretty good-natured. He's taking care of his guys. He's not directly usually involved in a lot of horrible violence or anything like that. And he's always, you know, telling the story with a bit of a smile or, you know, you need to understand this, sir. So we like him.
Yeah,
I did.
I did too.
He's extremely likable, and Vijay is extremely likable. So this, we're not to be blamed for that. It's his charisma.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, there's this one moment, and it's when they're talking to each other, and he's finishing. I think he's giving him options for what's going to happen next, and just for 1 second. He's got his back to Vikram, and he gets this almost a diabolical smile on his face of glee.
Mm.
And I think what we're seeing there is the real person coming through.
Very good.
Just for a second.
Just for a moment. Yep.
Yeah, because then he turns around. And he's just good natured again.
Wow. Yeah.
And I just went, oh yeah, he really is running a huge gangster ring.
Yeah.
And they are killing people, even if they're all other bad people. They're doing all this. He's earning his living by running drugs and all these various things.
Yeah. How did you like the very end?
I did like it. And what do you think? What do you think will happen? I like that he's like, yep, I'm ready for you.
I like to think that they walked away, both of them.
I agree.
Yeah.
I like to think they respected each other. And it was kind of like, well, if we meet again...
Yeah.
We'll be under different circumstances and we'll see who wins. There you go.
That's right. That's a good line right there. They could have done that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, he finally was smart. Because the whole time, you know what he's going to do.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my gosh, he's got a gun, you know.
Yeah.
I did really like that because it's that ultimate choice of, and you're left with it.
Mm-hmm.
Where does it go?
Yeah. Yeah, where does it go? It's left us to decide, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
But, I'm interested now in the other version to see if they change that, you know?
Oh,
I actually think this would be a terrific American movie.
Oh, yeah.
They should remake this. It would be really good with the right actors. It would be awesome.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't because the story would even translate right.
Yeah, the whole thing. Yeah, it works perfectly. Yeah.
Because he's a low-level criminal, but he gets involved because he's infuriated at his young brother being pulled in as a courier.
Mm. Yeah.
And the brother doesn't even do it.
Yeah.
It's the girlfriend. Yeah. Mm. At that point, she's just a friend. But she's always a little greedier. She's always a little smarter in terms of criminal stuff. She's always a little more willing to compromise in order to get what she wants.
Yeah.
And so when she betrays Pulley by stealing the money and acting like she's been abducted, I was surprised when later she was sorry.
Mm. Yeah.
And said, I've made a terrible mistake. I want to come back.
Right.
She at least realized that I do love him, you know.
Very good. Lots of this, you know, uncovering of understanding throughout the movie. Mm-hmm. You know, even for her, it's like a recurring thing that's happening. What do you think of Veda? Did Veda grow in understanding? I don't know that he did.
I think we've seen Veda after he's grown in understanding, yeah, because that's why he's telling those stories and saying, asking, which one should you kill? This one who did this, or this one who did this?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's already had to look back at his life and think through what got him to that point and synthesize it, because he's like, why did Pulley die? And he's having to look at all the clues.
Yeah.
And we see the first clues back at the very beginning, where he doesn't really realize the answer himself, I think, of who's betraying him. Mm-hmm. I mean, he does by the time we're hearing the third story. Yeah. But at the very beginning, it's, you know, it's the guy who's running the neighborhood for the old man.
Hmm.
And he's one-upped by Veda. And because he did what Veda told him not to. Do not corrupt these children.
Hmm.
And especially my brother.
Wow. That harkens back to The Godfather. I don't know if you remember back then, but The Godfather would, you know, with the whole, all the families, he's like, we will not touch the children, or something like that. You know, do not sell the drugs to the children, right?
Right.
And we're going to be on safe ground. You know, he didn't want to do the drugs in the first place, but he was, you know, to the point after they had killed Sonny, he was to the point now where I don't want any more bloodshed. Do your thing, but don't touch the kids, you know?
Right.
How interesting that is. Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess that's kind of the universal. It's the shades of gray again.
Yeah, yeah.
Even when you seem pretty bad, and The Godfather's pretty bad, and as I was saying, we're not shown, you know, outwardly that Veda's pretty bad. We know he is, because of what we see of his life, but we're not given explicit scenes. We're showing he's drinking with his friends, they're doing a little dance and everything, and song, of course. But he is like The Godfather.
Mm.
He's mostly bad, but he's not all bad.
Yeah.
He loves his brother, and his brother is continually going, you don't have to do this. Look, we can make money like this.
Mm.
The brother's the one who actually is good.
Right.
Because he can see the full picture more clearly.
That's right. And he was taken out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. It's a good story.
Yeah, I just really loved the fact that it was always the moral question at the end, and you don't expect that. He says, may I tell you a story, sir?
Yeah.
And the extent he'll go to tell him the story when they're down by the river or the ravine or whatever.
Yeah, he's about to be killed, and he's like, let me tell you a story.
So, sir, but sir, first, let me tell you a story. And he's like, I can't resist. Yeah. And then he has to, like, beat him up and hold on to him to finish telling him the story. Because Vicar was like, I've had enough of this. He's like, no, sir, let me finish my story.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. Mm-hmm.
Well, and in the end, what you see is the big, big message is it's an anti-encounter movie.
An anti-encounter movie. I'm not sure. Go ahead and explain that.
So the encounter, the police encounters where the police are dispensing their justice.
Uh-huh.
You know, kill this guy, make it look like he shot him. Just show up and do it. Don't take him to justice or anything like this. Well, if that hadn't happened and Pulley had gotten killed, none of these other things would have taken place.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah, right.
So, and look at how corrupt the police are.
Yeah.
We're going to kill him anyway. Because they're kind of given a license to do that. That's the encounter problem that India has. I mean, and it's a huge problem. Now, it's being used here in the action thriller thing.
Yeah.
But what you see is, if they weren't allowed to do all that stuff, they may have been corrupt. They may have let people get away. You know, police in our country, we see movies like that.
Yeah.
You know, there's the corrupt cops who are doing whatever. But when they kill somebody, it's always wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's always that society looks at it as wrong. There in India, it's like, well, they were pretty bad. Thank goodness the police took them out. Even Beloved Singham.
That's right.
You know,
how interesting. That. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this movie, when you look at all the things that Vikram is going through and how all the cops at the end are now his enemies, it's enabled by the acceptance of the encounter.
Hmm.
You dispense the justice yourself.
Yeah.
You decide. But do you ever know enough of the facts, right?
Right.
Which is what Veda's trying to tell him. You don't understand the facts. He's not doing it because of, he's doing it because of one specific encounter where his brother was killed.
Yeah.
But he's not, I guess I'm kind of stuck. It's, do you see what I'm saying?
I do. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's, you've got to know more. And the way you find out more, honestly, this is me extrapolating, thinking about just justice. The way you find out more is you go to court. Maybe right. You can trust the lawyers. Maybe you can't. But they're all there arguing it out, telling the story, telling the story of the victim, telling the story of the accused person.
Yeah.
And the judge is sitting there to facilitate. And the jury, if there's a jury, which in India, they don't have juries anymore.
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah, that's
yeah, I mean, it makes me think of, you know, it's like, I don't know if this is a human nature thing or what, but we seem to tolerate immorality if it's on our side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the events that's happened in the United States, I don't know, was it 6 months ago, 8 months ago, where that guy killed the insurance CEO.
Oh,
and a lot of people were stepping forward saying, "You go, guy," you know, and I was like, "You're kidding me."
I was horrified.
I was horrified too. And it's just like, you know, I would be happy to admit that our insurance companies are not acting in the benefit of the people that are the insured, right? But I'm not going to support killing CEOs out in the street for that reason. You know, it's a problem. It's a problem. Let's talk about the problem. But but it just seems like that's kind of a recurring theme in history, and especially recent history. Including recent history. So
And in this country, we've gotten everybody's kind of just dropped down a level where no one can have civil discourse about it and solve things.
Yeah.
They all are now more encouraged to take action of some sort.
Right.
And then they take action like that. And so it goes back to the thing of, if there's a problem, don't just look at the problem. Look at the reason behind the problem.
Yes, yes.
You know, and that guy who was, he had to be crazy or something, who shot that poor insurance CEO. I felt so bad about that. It was just awful.
Yeah.
He both, you know, obviously there were a lot of things going on.
Right.
One of the things is he's like, this solves the problem. I was like, okay, on even the simplest level, no, it doesn't.
It is
because you'd have to kill the whole corporation. But it's, he's not thinking about what is going on behind the scenes. And this is the point of, you know, like I said, it's laws and people thinking about things, and they don't always get it right. But jury trials and, or even just the judge. A lot of times in India, like I say, there was a movie that we watched about why they don't have jury trials in India anymore. It was a really famous case. It's got Akshay Kumar in it, who was in Airlift.
Oh, yeah.
And he's quite good in it. But there was a famous trial about somebody who was maybe having an affair, maybe killed somebody and all this kind of thing. And there was such jury tampering to the point of newspapers being slipped into people's hands with, you know, all kinds of information as they went in the morning to take their place in the jury box. And I mean, just, it was crazy. After that, they just went, we'll just have judges. Thanks.
Wow. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. How interesting.
Mm-hmm. So in that sense, it also kind of facilitates the idea of the encounter, right? The authority, the judge has the authority, and we watched Malk.
Yes.
Where that was a good judge.
Uh-huh.
But it was just one judge. I mean, if he wasn't going that way, it could have gone all very wrong. It just depends on the judge a lot of the time. And it's when the police are acting as the judge and dispensing justice, they're just pulling it that one step further away from the truth.
Yeah.
So that's why I kind of looked at this as an anti-encounter movie.
Yeah, that's really, really interesting. Yeah, I like it.
At least that's the kind of the message underlying everything that I think probably Indians would have taken away from it. And if you're listening and you know, tell me. I'd be curious to know. But that's what we took away.
Okay, very good. Yeah, it works for me. Yep, definitely.
And, of course, as we see from the movie, and as you've pointed out, without self-examination of what's going on within you, how do you know you're even trying to act just, really?
Yeah, and how, again, you pointed this out, but you just don't have all the facts. There's just that's just true of almost any situation.
Right.
You are operating with a set of facts, hopefully factual facts, that is not complete. And only God actually has the complete picture, right? So
right.
That's what, you know, the trials are for, is to try to establish what the truth was.
Yeah,
and then you get all the jury tampering or whatever, and, you know, yeah.
Well, and by the end, what you see also is that glory and winning are really meaningless based on Vikram's yes. previous standards.
Remember, Veda actually said that.
Okay, I should have put quote marks around it in my notes.
You just remembered that, you know, because he was tossed out of the car.
And yeah, he said,
at this moment, I realized that this is all meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great, great point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he'd been, of course, going for that his whole life.
Yeah. Spending your entire life on something that you just get to, this is not worth it.
And this is, you know, ultimately what Vikram learns.
Yes.
Too.
That's right.
Because he's been hearing all these stories. So I really loved this as the point of story changing things. And you were pointing it out from thinking of the parables and everything, but I'm just thinking of literature and imaginative storytelling.
Yeah.
It changes how you think. It puts you in different mindsets. It takes you to different worlds, essentially, you know, the past, India, all these things, into the gangster's life, into the cop's life, all the things. And it's looking, because it's using these different stories within this, it's going only through story, as we talked about, can Vikram really get brought to the place where he's thinking for himself.
Mm.
And that happened to me, as I've said many times, is once I converted, I suddenly was looking at stories and movies and going, oh my gosh, I see traces of God being referenced deliberately everywhere.
Yeah.
And here are other things I'm seeing that are just inspiring to me on one level or another. And not inspiring necessarily in the Christian way, but, you know, just how do you think?
Yeah.
How do you look at what the writers intended and what everybody's trying to tell you? And it's really even more interesting to me just right at this moment, because I've been having this ongoing conversation with a friend. My friend is pushing back because I said, watch Godzilla Minus One. And he went, well, that's just a Godzilla movie with a thin moral layer on it. And I went, whoa, what were you watching? And he's like, no, you have to watch Letters from Iwo Jima. And I was like, ugh. So we made this bet, essentially. If he'd watch that, then I'd watch the Letters from Iwo Jima, which I couldn't make it all the way through.
Uh-huh.
But it's just not my kind of movie. This kind of war movie is not my... But I understood what he was doing, right? Mm. I mean, I understood. But after that, I said to my friend, do you read or watch fiction? Mm. And he said, not for years. And he'll watch movies, but they have to be based on a true story. And I thought, okay, this is just, he's thinking so differently than I am, right?
Yeah.
Because for me, stories just open up a whole nother world, and he can't get it. And he's still kind of pushing back against it in that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Story is just powerful. I mean, I mean, if Jesus is God and he chose to speak the way he spoke, that should tell us a ton, you know, because a story is just something that sits with you and it changes you. I mean, every story we read. So it's just, you know, this constant, subtle experience, you know, that changes you.
That's it. And my friend keeps saying, well, because you like Marvel movies and monsters. I'm like, no, I don't really actually like them that much. And that's not what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
So he doesn't, this is just not a way he thinks.
Yeah.
And I'm absolutely fine with that. But it did make me think of, since Pope Francis, since we last podcast, Pope Francis died, and we've the funeral's happened. We've been waiting. Now we're going to wait for the conclave and see who the new pope is. But I was kind of remembering that he'd written this letter about the role of literature in formation.
Oh, yes. That's right. Yeah. Ooh, I'm going to reread that. That's great.
Yeah. Well,
because I did read that.
Yeah. I read it at the time, and I was looking back through it, and I went, you know, I think I need to read it again. I think this is something that's got a lot of food for thought. And he said he originally wrote the letter. He was going to give it a title referring to priestly formation. And then when he thought about it, he said, no, this applies to everybody in pastoral work and, in fact, every Christian. And he said, what I would like to address here is the value of reading novels and poems as part of one's path to personal maturity.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah. And as I was glancing through it, I thought, well, this is the thing that is so important. And it's why I picked this movie. In a sense, it's reflecting that. Is they're trying to say something in this movie, and they did to me. And it's through story. It would have been a good action thriller without the Vedas, but it's basically based around those. You know, yes, and as far as I know, 1001 Nights, even though it'll nest story within story within story, and it's entertaining and it's interesting, I've never come out of it feeling like maybe the people do reading the original movie, you know. The Vitala, what is it? It's the, well, that's the long name. That's the Sanskrit name, Vetal Pachisi.
Yeah, yeah.
And those may be in there too. Or maybe it's just the genius of the people who did this movie. But story is what opens us up and allows us to see deeply within ourselves too.
Yeah. That's so cool. Yep. Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that. And yeah, thanks for reminding me of that letter because, I was moved by it. Yeah. That's a great thing to revisit this week.
Yeah, exactly. And like I say, that's really the main reason I picked the movie is just it's so powerfully illustrates that very thing.
Yeah, it does.
And and as I said, I didn't realize it until we were talking. I'm like, but Veda had to have experienced that himself when he's looking back and mulling over the string of events. We all tell ourselves our own stories as a story. You know?
Yeah, right.
So he also was learning and figuring things out, too, as he went. Like you said, you know, glory isn't worth it and winning aren't worth it.
Right.
Meaningless.
Yeah. Wow, that's great. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So I think Nicolas Cage needs to be in the Hollywood version.
Is he going to be Veda, I guess?
I think, no, yeah, he's going to be Veda for sure, right. Veda.
Well, and obviously Carl Urban has to be
Vikram. Carl Urban would be great Vikram. That is brilliant.
Wouldn't he be wonderful?
Yes. Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah. We're going to do it for you, man.
I love it. Yep. That's right. We just made somebody a lot of money.
Our email's on the blog, so just, you know, get a hold of us. We'll send you the address for the royalties.
Huge. It's going to be huge.
Oh, gracious.
Well, thanks for bringing this one to me.
Oh, you're very welcome. Yet another one.
I've really enjoyed every Indian movie you have brought me. It's been really good.
Oh,
it's
good.
Just been enjoyable. So I love it.
They're carefully curated.
Yes.
We've seen a billion that I wouldn't show you.
Oh, I love it. Well, thank you for that.
Those movies. Well, you're very welcome. I'm glad you liked it.
Very good. So next up for us is the Screwtape Letters.
Oh.
Yeah.
Talk about story and deeper meaning.
Yes.
Right?
Now, I have an audio version of this read by John Cleese.
Is it the is it unabridged?
No, there are some letters that are left out. So it's not the entire thing, but everything that's there is great.
I would certainly enjoy that.
Yes.
Yes, please.
Your affectionate uncle, Screwtape.
Yes.
You can hear that in John Cleese's voice.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I can hear it right now, but I can only imagine the sarcasm that's used in the rest of the things. I can't wait. This would be great.
Oh, it's terrific.
Yeah.
But, yep, looking forward to that.
Yeah, I like it.
All right. Very good. Well, thanks, everyone, for listening. And we'll be back in a couple weeks.
Yeah, we'll talk to you again soon.
All right.
Maybe there will be a new pope by the time we... Gosh, I hope so.
Yeah, I would expect so. Yeah, let's hope.
Yeah,
let's hope.
Fingers crossed.
All right. Take care,
okay.
Everyone.
Okay, talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.